Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James, your host, and I love you very much. At the time of this recording, we have just gotten through Christmas. We are about to go into New Year's. I hope your Christmas was amazing. Mm-hmm. I hope your time of celebration was great and you felt well loved on that day and in those gatherings. We are in an interesting time. I'm with my friend Mariah Ball Weber.
Hello.
She is my second in command. I love this woman of God. And we are just going to, we've gotten really excited about history lately. Ooh. Because we are watching history unfold before our very eyes. Beloved, listen to me. You were scheduled. Your time of living in the earth was scheduled. The Lord needed you here in this extraordinary time. And you may be listening to me at the end of 2020 and think it's not very extraordinary and that you're pretty ready for 2021 to come on in. But listen, listen, what you're watching unfold in whatever nation you are listening to us is extraordinary. Yeah. God is moving. It may not look like He is moving. I need us to think. We're going to talk for a couple of weeks, I think, about the hopeless situations that have happened throughout history and that the Lord often orchestrates those situations to come through in His glory and manifest His goodness and His strength in a way that could not happen without that occurring. I think our God, this Father of ours, loves us and He loves a good drama.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So as you're listening to me today, as you're listening to us, our God loves a good drama and He never loses.
That's right.
He never loses. No. You should say that. He never loses.
He never loses.
He never loses. And you don't get to lose either.
And He's always out for our good.
Yeah, He is.
He always wants
He is always
good,
out
our success.
For our good. Let's talk about some impossible situations that turned around. Shall we talk about it? Let's talk about Moses at the river. Mm-hmm. Okay, get the idea. We're in Exodus chapter 2. Get the idea here. The Pharaoh has issued a command that every baby born, every baby boy should be slaughtered, right? Do you remember that? Every Israeli baby boy should be slaughtered. And actually, if you look into the original language of that, it means that he was forcing people to either kill their newborn infants or to abort their children. Or both.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, the reason the children died was because there was a deliverer coming and the enemy knew he was coming, but our enemy is not as wise as you think he is. He couldn't find him.
No.
So we started slaughtering children everywhere to try to kill him. That happened again when Jesus was born. He knew something was happening, that the deliverer was coming. And so the children were slain under Herod's orders because the enemy couldn't find him, couldn't figure out who he was.
He's
right?
Not all that smart.
He's not all, he is the author of confusion, brothers and sisters. He is confused. He cannot find it. Please don't think that your enemy is all-knowing. He is not.
Oh, no.
He is not. So anyway, we have this child that the scripture says his parents knew that he was an extraordinary child and they hid him for 3 months. But if you've had a baby, you know they begin to cry louder and louder, and he got stronger and stronger. He was an extraordinary child, and they hid him for 3 months. And then the mama, love this woman, gets this crazy idea to build a little basket, a little ark for the baby, right?
Yeah.
And put that baby on the Nile River. Now, there's a plan for you, right? So she's going to put the baby inside the basket and cast him onto the Nile River, sending her other little girl, Miriam, to guard the basket. I just want you to see hopelessness here.
Yeah.
Because she knows if I keep him in the house, he's going to die. There's no way to keep him alive, right? And so if I send him onto the Nile, maybe the Lord will guard him. And I would venture to say her faith was not extraordinary.
No.
She was just trying to figure out how to keep him alive a few more moments.
And that putting him on the river in this little homemade ark was somehow better than keeping him home.
And letting him be
That's
slain by the officers. That's right. By the army that was coming after all of the children. please don't think this was a small matter. It wasn't. She wanted to keep that boy alive, but she sends both of her children out to the Nile. And when they shut the door and she puts the baby, you know, she goes with her and puts the baby on the river and she goes back to her house. How hopeless was that? She knows she's not going to get Moses back, not going to get the baby back, right? She hadn't named him Moses yet. She knows she's not going to get the baby back, and she may not get Miriam back because there are crocodiles on that river who would love a snack. Yes? Yeah. And so as far as Jochebed knows, she shuts the door to her house and she is crying her eyes out. You know, she is a mother. She is a mother in hormonal flux. She just had a baby. She's had to give this child up, and she doesn't know if either of the children are coming home that day. It's totally a hopeless situation. Wow. And within, I don't know how long, but where does the baby end up? He ends up in the at the palace of Egypt, where the Pharaoh's daughter is taking a bath at that very moment in the river. And she opens the basket and instantly falls in love with this Hebrew baby, which is obviously a Hebrew baby because it's a Hebrew basket. It's probably covered in a Hebrew type of cloth. She knows what this baby is. Right. And she automatically falls in love with him, draws him from the water. He's named Moses. And she looked around and she's thinking, I want to keep this baby. I bet the gods have given me this baby. And she looks around and she thinks, who's going to nurse this baby for me? Who's waiting in the rushes? Miriam.
Big sister.
And she says, I know somebody. So can you imagine? Jochebed is crying. I just want to put you in there. She is in pain. She's in so much pain. She's lost everything that makes her life worthwhile.
Yeah.
And the door bursts open and Miriam comes in one step past hopelessness and says, you need to come with me. So within 2 hours, let's say it's 2 hours. Let's say she put the baby on the river at 9 o'clock in the morning. By 11, before lunch, what was illegal now becomes legal, and she gets paid by the highest office in the land to nurse her own son and to raise him. Now, let me tell you something. This was not any 6-month deal. Biblically, women used to nurse their children for years, 3, 4, 5 years before they would wean them. And that baby lived with her, and she was protected sovereignly by the nation of Egypt. She was protected from that point on. So there was an instantaneous turnaround, wasn't there? Yeah. It was instantaneous. Never think that hopelessness has the end game.
Well, because at one point, just before Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses, the mom is, one, a rebel to the state.
Yeah.
Because she's had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
She puts him on the river, so that's a better danger than what was waiting for him before that.
Yeah. Okay.
He gets found. Miriam's like, hey, I know a girl who can help you out with this. Oh, Pharaoh's daughter, let me tell you something. And that whole thing happens. Well, wet nurses at that time were well respected by the royals. That was a high honor to be a wet nurse. So she goes from being a rebel of the state to one of the highly honored servants of the state.
Yeah, and paid for it.
That's exactly right.
So now she has all of her needs met. So in 2 hours, let's say, she goes from being risking her life and losing her children to being one of the most respected people in the land and being paid to raise her own son. See, God can turn it around in a moment. And he likes a good drama.
Yeah, he does.
He likes a good drama. And he set it up that way so that there would be no breakdown in the protection of that family.
Yeah.
Because now they're protected by the very people that were wanting to destroy the deliverer in her house.
And she gets to train her son
in righteousness.
Yeah.
Because by the time she leaves him to live with the Pharaoh's daughter, he's been trained by his mom for, let's say, 5 or 6 years in righteousness.
Yeah. Thank
goodness. Wow. Come on. Okay. Same Moses, 12 chapters later. The Red Sea. Let's talk about the impossibility of the Red Sea. They're finally released from captivity, right? The 10 plagues have happened. The death of the firstborn has happened. Passover has happened. God rescued them like he said he would do. He will do what he said he will do, right? The blood, they passed, the death angel passed over because of the blood. That's what protected them. So now they launch out and they go from Egypt. They're not slaves anymore. They take all the wealth of Egypt and they go into the desert. It's going to be an 11-day journey. This is not hard. I mean, it would be hard. 6 million people, that's going to be a little hard.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the scripture says, now look at this. Look at this. The scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And all of a sudden, he looks around and there's no one to make him a sandwich. And he thinks, what have I done? And he sends the army after all of the army. Everybody in the land goes after the slaves. And they chase them. And they chase them. And they chase them. And they get to where? Where do they get, beloved? They get to the very edge of the Red Sea. Yes, they get to the very edge of the Red Sea. They get to hopelessness. That's where they got. They got to impossibility. That's exactly where they got, because behind them is a very well-trained army, right? The army of Egypt wants to take them back and put them back to work. Ahead of them is the Red Sea. There is no way through. I do not have a boat and there is no bridge. I cannot get through this. Does that make sense to you? There is no way through. There is no path to victory, we might say. And it was the Lord who hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, that doesn't make sense to me unless I keep reading. Because Moses says, all right, calm down. Everybody is freaking out. Do not think people have changed. People submit to fear all day, every day. And the news media is going on. There's no way through this. There is no way through this. We have seen the last day. They should just give up and go home. This is over. Right? That's what their news media was saying that day. And Moses, there was one voice that stood up and said, no, 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 don't fear. Stand still and see the salvation of God. That's what he said. Now, we like that scripture, except the Lord corrected it. See, it's a problem when his theology is different than my theology. We stop at that scripture and we put it on cards and we send it to people and we text it and we post it on our Facebook wall and all those things. And that's a great scripture, except that God said, what do you think? Why are you crying out to me? Moses fell on his face and he's crying out. And I bet one of the prayers of Moses at that point was, come on, God, I'm going to look really weird. We need help right now, because I just said you're going to come through. So you should come through right
it's
now.
It's me in a stick. Yeah. In a giant sea.
Exactly.
And 6 million people.
So tell me how to get 6 million people through a sea. What am I going to do? Where do I go from here? Have you ever been in a situation like that where there is nowhere to go from here? There's like fire on either side of this board. There's nowhere for me to go. I have been there. You've been there. And the Lord has gotten me through. So anyway, he's on his face crying out, going, come on. Come on, God. Let's go. Let's go. And the Lord says, why are you crying out to me? Read it. Read it. It's right there in Exodus 14. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to go forward. Now help me. Stop reading your Bible like it's just a Bible story. Read it like it actually happened, because there were people in that story. You should always put yourself in a Bible story. So, okay, let's put you next to Moses as he's crying out. Got it? Okay, you can hear the people screaming. You're looking over at them because you're kind of higher with Moses. He's trying to get some height so he can talk to all 6 million. And so now he falls on his face. He said the great prophetic thing. And he said, the Lord's going to save the day. He's going to do it. And God said, tell them to get up, stop crying, and move forward. Okay, now look out. Is there anywhere forward? Because the army's coming. Can you hear them coming? They're on the way. There is no hope for you. There's no way through to victory. You are going to die. You're going to lose everything you ever had. If you don't die, you're going to be slaves in Egypt again. And it'll be worse for you then than it ever was before. Okay, you got the picture? Now, God says, go forward. Where?
I love that he says that first.
Yeah, I love that.
Then he says, tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. So he doesn't give him the answer until he gives him the command to move.
Right.
Which I love.
Right. And the command of the Lord is we're going forward. The command of the Lord is we're going forward. Not we're going to die. Not we're going to drown. He already said where we're going. And then he tells him how to do it. So he lifts up his rod. Can you imagine being Moses in this moment? He lifts up his rod and goes, this better work. You know what I'm saying? And he lifts up his rod in faith, though. There are things you have to do in faith. If he had just sat there and cried out to God, they would have died.
Yeah.
He had to move.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? We have to move.
He couldn't just sit there and keep saying, God's going to fight for us. God's going to fight for it. God wants to fight with you.
Oh, God, that's good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's not going to just be like, okay, you know what, Moses, why don't you guys just have some applesauce? I'm going to figure this out. No, you guys stand up, get moving, lift up your rod.
Look, start watch, moving watch. And do something.
Yes.
You should write that on your refrigerator. Start moving and do something.
And I think another thing we need to pull out of this too is when we're freed from bondage, when the Lord frees us from bondage, keep moving. Don't stand still, because that bondage will overtake you again. You can't stand still and wait for God to win. You have to partner with him and
be faithful in moving.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why? Because God had already said, I have a land for you. He already promised them what he had for them. They had his word. They knew what he wanted to do, but God's will, can we just stop and take a detour here just for a second? God's will doesn't always just come to pass. We have to obey him and partner with him for that will to be released in the earth. The word of the Lord may come forth, and it has come forth. It did come forth for the children of Israel. I have a land for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give that land to you. You'll be free. You will not be slaves in Egypt. Right? But at this point, they have a choice as to whether or not they're going to believe God's word and move on it, or whether they are going to go back to what was familiar to them. Because at least it's familiar and we might live. This looks pretty scary out here.
But if we go back to what the Lord originally said, what the Lord originally said to Abraham, this is way back when. This is the land. This is the land I have given to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have so many kids, you can't even count them. And this is where they're going to be living. If they had gone back to that word, no matter what obstacle, a sea in their place, the giants in the land, all of it, it doesn't matter what the obstacles are. God said, that's your land. So whose land is it? It's your land. Right. You're going to have it. And he wants your good.
And believing him creates this holy defiance on the inside of us.
That's true.
I'm looking at a sea and I'm going, I'm sorry, we can't die here because God promised us there was a land on the other side of it, because there is a step beyond hopelessness for us. Mm. The breakthrough is on the other side of hopelessness. Mm. Oh, man, I don't know if you're getting this, but I'm getting this and it's pretty powerful. Let's take a break for our sponsor. And we will be right back. We have a lot more to talk about. Hang on.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
All right. Welcome back. This is Sandy James. You are listening to Breathing Room. You are listening to the other side of hopelessness. Thank God there is another side. So, okay, we're at the Red Sea. We're still at the Red Sea. Moses has cried out to God and God has talked back to Moses. See, we got to read the whole story. God has talked back to Moses and he said, why are you crying out to me? Basically, God's saying, I already said what I'm going to say. You tell the people to move forward, except the only problem is there is a sea in the way. Yes? So he said, lift up your rod and part the sea. I'm sorry. What? How?
Excuse me?
How does one do that? So all you can do is all you can do. Yes?
Yeah.
And when you do what you can do in faith, it is a prophetic action that is a prophetic defiance of the limitation of that which would close me in to destruction and keep the word of God from coming to pass in our lives. Does it make sense to you? Of course it does. You have been there. So Moses raises his rod and you're right next to Moses. Remember, you're his best friend and you're looking up, praying to God, something happens. And there the wind that comes, the wind of God begins to blow. Why? Because some man partnered with him and made a space for the wind to blow. And what happened? Read it.
So then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Mm. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea.
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
Can we talk about hardness of heart here? So the fact that he raises his rod and the sea parts, and there is a road. The scripture calls it a road in the sea. They didn't know there was a road in the sea. Nobody knew there was a road in the sea, but God knew there was a road in the sea. And that was the road that he intended for them to go on. Now listen. There had to be an easier way. There had to be an easier way, yeah?
Right.
But there wasn't. You know why? Because the army, the Pharaoh, was so hardened and so deceived that they followed them into that sea. Now look, from Egyptian perspective, they're trapped, yes? The Egyptians have been trapped against the sea, between the sea and the army. That's a trap. And they are absolutely going to be destroyed or recaptured. There is no other way through this. That's what all the media is saying. That's what all the naysayers are saying. They are absolutely, they're done for. The battle is over. They're done for. They might as well go home. Except that the Lord will always, when we are faithful and when we move with him, he will always trap the enemy in the traps he has laid for us. So these goofy Egyptians, I mean, if the Lord parts the sea for them, I would be nervous as an Egyptian that if he parts the sea for them, he's going to close the sea over me.
Right.
If my object is to destroy them.
I mean, can you imagine sitting there in your chariot, like you're the greatest empire in the world at this time? You know, these are just slaves. Come on. They're just slaves. Whatever.
They don't know how to fight.
We got this. And then, what is it? The angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. There's fire. There's a cloud of smoke. There's all this drama happening. The 6 million people start walking forward to the sea. What's happening? And then the sea opens, and you go, we should follow them.
Right. That's a plan.
Are you kidding me? That is next level. Let's go.
That's next level stupid right there. That really is next level stupid. They followed them into the sea. And the God who set this up, see, they think they've won. But God is really working. He is fighting for his people. And they follow them into the sea. And when they do, of course, what happens? The Lord closes. He said to them, he said, the Egyptians you see today, you will no longer see forever. Mm-hmm. Listen, we have to end this podcast, but listen to me. That is the word of the Lord for you. Yeah. The Egyptians you see today, if you will move forward, you will never see them again. This is the last day you will ever see those faces again. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about that which chases you and tries to trap you in a place where there is no going forward or going backward. Beloved, it is time for you to look beyond hopelessness right now and understand that the Lord will trap the enemy in the very traps he has set for us.
Yeah.
He will destroy the enemy in the very pit he dug for us. He will destroy everything the enemy has set up against us, will be used to destroy his kingdom in our lives, in our families, in this nation. In Jesus' name, I break hopelessness off of you. And I ask the Lord now in Jesus' name to give you eyes that see a road that no one else sees, to see the path through to the other side of where you are right now, in Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus today, It is your day. You do not need to live one more day outside of the covenant with the living God. The only way you can make covenant with this king who can do all things well and fights for us, is through Jesus. He's the door to the kingdom. He is the door. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the door. Amen. We only go in through that door. His name is Jesus. He died on the cross, not just for sin, but for every shame, every sickness, every disease, every act of hell against us. He died to destroy everything that would destroy us. And he rose again on the third day. We'll talk about that next week as well. That was another hopeless situation. He rose on the third day when no one thought he would rise again because they had all given it up because, man, it was just a rough journey, right? But he rose to let you know that his sacrifice was acceptable and it was accepted. And his blood cleanses you now from every sin, from everything that the enemy would own in your life. You are free if you'll just take your freedom. But again, you got to be the one who says, I'll take that. I'm going to move with God and not just cry and wish things were different. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray for you right now. If you don't know the Lord, if you're coming back to the Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on. Let's get you saved and redeemed and filled with the Holy Spirit right now. So say this with me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive you.
I receive you.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
And Savior.
And Savior.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For dying on the cross for me.
For dying on the cross
for Thank
me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That you didn't stay dead.
That you didn't stay dead.
But on day three.
But on day three.
You rose from the grave.
You rose from the grave.
To declare.
To declare.
That the work was done.
That the work was done.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take my life.
Take my life.
Because I renounce the past.
Because I renounce the past.
And everything that went with it.
And everything that went with
and
it.
And I move forward now.
And I move forward now.
Past my limitation.
Past my limitation.
Into covenant with the King of Kings.
Into covenant with the King of Kings.
I receive everything you have for me.
I receive everything
you have for me. Including the Holy Spirit.
Including the Holy Spirit.
I receive the fullness of the Spirit of God.
I receive the fullness of the Spirit of God.
And I fully expect to speak in tongues.
And I fully expect to speak in tongues.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. We're believing God with you. We would love to help you with that. You can contact us in the information below this podcast. I'd love for you to subscribe and to share this with your friends. We have a lot more to share. 30 minutes goes very quickly. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more to share with you next week. We love you. You can reach us at breatheretreat.life and get information on the next Breathe Retreat, which is coming up
so soon on April 24th.
On April 24th, that's right.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, you do not want to miss it. This will be a gathering of the radical, where we just gather to worship God in truth and to allow him to do everything he intended to do in our lives. We create a space for his wind to blow. He comes to us like wind. He comes to us like rain. He is the God of the universe, and he has called us by our name. We love you, beloved. We long to know you. We want to get to know you more. Contact us. Let us know what you think. And we'll talk to you again next week. God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.